Welcome to another edition of Folk Box in the Voice of Russia World Service, a feature tailor-made for all those who love folk art. I'm your host, Svetlana Yakimenko. Not a particularly aesthetic sound for a contemporary ear, is it? But appreciate the value of the moment. You're listening to a music instrument that is almost 9 centuries old. It was unearthed during archaeological digs in the ancient Russian town of Novgorod, and it's called the gudok. This is the ancestor of the modern-day violin, and our today's story is about this folk violin. To begin with, let me tell you about the ancestor of the Russian violin, the gudok, an instrument that seemed to have totally disappeared from our life more than 100 years ago, because it was supplanted by the contemporary violin. However, Novgorod archaeological digs changed the course of events. When the first sample of the gudok was discovered, experts simply couldn't believe their eyes. Firstly, this was a wooden instrument that had miraculously survived for almost 9 centuries, all due to the unique soil composition in Novgorod. Secondly, now experts could actually see what the gudok looked like. It had little resemblance to the violin. It's an elongated oval shape with 3 strings. Restoration experts immediately got to work, and music scientists calculated out the timbre of the ancient gudok, so we were able to hear it. And next, this is one of the few cases in the history of folklore, the ancient gudok began a new life. Now they make analogous instruments and they can be heard in folklore ensembles. Thank you. Now, our northern peoples have retained the ancient variations of the violin unaltered for thousands of years. Here's the Yakut violin. The violin of the Ulichi, also Siberia. The Isle of Sakhalin and the violin of the Nifhi people. While in the case of the Karelians, that's the north of the European part of Russia, the ancient violin disappeared from their life, but they have a tremendous love for the violin of the European type. amazing virtuosos of the violin, the Moldavians. But let's get back to the history of the Russian folk violin. It's hard to say why, but a certain area was always particularly famed for its violinists, Smolensk region. And what is even more amazing, violin traditions are alive there to this day. It seems there is no such moment in one's life when the residents of this area did not play the violin. From a child's christening to a funeral. They play solo and in ensemble. A very special violinist lived in that area. When in the 60s he arrived for traditional ethnographic concerts in Moscow, our great composer Dmitri Shostakovich wrote about him. This is a genius of the 20th century, and the man's name was Grigory Babykin. This violinist in the 80s, when he was already near 90, but how he played, and he led an ensemble he had founded too. Of course, back then we recorded Grigory Бабыкин's narratives.
Значит, желание играть на скрипке у меня появилось еще в период, когда мне было 9 лет всего от роду. И такое желание, что я кроме, значит, скрипки не понимал другой музыки.
I first had a desire to play the violin when I was about 9, and this desire was so powerful I refused to appreciate any other music except for the violin. That was the only instrument I insisted on listening to. I started playing a simply wooden plank, making strings out of coarse peasant's twine.
Смычок примитивный дел. К елке подойдешь, об смолу посмолишь его, чтобы потом касался струн. И начал на этих струнах на них.
I made a primitive bow. All you had to do was find a fir tree to give it a coat of tar. I gradually started playing at various gatherings and parties.
Учить меня никто не учил на скрипке. Учился только путем, понимаешь, именно прислушивания к музыке, как играли старшие. Играли
no one ever bothered to teach me. I just sat listening to how the elder folk played. You know, the old men with beards. I sat listening for days on end, not even hungry. I watched and learned fast. And then my elder brother found me a real violin, a rather awkward, clumsy one. And that's how it all started. In line with Smolensk tradition, a violin plays a very important role at a wedding. Grigory told us about one of these traditional wedding rituals, the unplating of the tresses.
Это она обычно поется, когда невесту расчесывают ей косу, укладывают волос, одевают фату и готовят ее ехать под венец.
My fair tresses. This was a melody for when the bride's hair was unplaited and styled and covered with a veil, all in preparation for the actual wedding ceremony.
И вот это, значит, песня поется «Косица моя русая, русая, на неделю я тебе чесала» и так далее. Она такая плачевная, певучая песня.
Oh, my fair tresses, all week I have combed you. A weeping, mellow song. Obviously, the process of getting the bride ready was a mournful one, since it meant bidding farewell to a girl's carefree and easy life. But it could not be helped when the time came for being wed. Russian folk violinist Grigory Babykin. Before we sign off, let me tell you a tale about a violinist originally from Babykin's native land of Smolensk region. There lived one fellow, he was wealthy, had made 2 pots of gold, so he took the money to be buried away in a safe place. However, when the man died, nobody knew about that hiding place, for he hadn't told anyone about the money. Once there was a feast in that village. The violinist was walking along the street to a venue where he was to play, when suddenly he fell headlong into a pit, deep, deep down, straight down into hell, into that very place where the rich fellow was suffering. "Hello," says the violinist, and the man responds, "This is a bad business indeed coming here. Don't you know that this is hell?" "What for did they bring you here, fellow?" "For money. You see, I had plenty of it, but I never shared with the poverty-stricken. I buried 2 pots of gold in the ground. If you ever get out of here, tell my children to take that money and distribute it among the poor." The moment he'd uttered these words, the workers of hell materialized before them. They began beating him mercilessly and even got hold of the poor violinist too, who tried to hide out of terror. They forced him to play the violin. And so the violinist played, his strings tearing and breaking, but the workers of hell demanded more and more from him. The violinist said, "Let me go back to my old village and fetch some new strings for the violin." And through this cunning, he managed to get away. As he walked overjoyed across to the village, he heard a wedding being celebrated nearby. The folks spied him and shouted, "Where have you been for 3 whole years? While he answered, "In hell." The people laughed disbelievingly, but he smiled to himself, and off he went to play at the wedding, to the joy of one and all. And after that, the violinist went to see the sons of that man he'd encountered in hell. He told them all about the money and the father's instructions. The 2 pots of gold, just as the latter had wished, were distributed among the poor, and also an excellent bridge was built, in a spot where before there was no way of getting across. "Oh, what a wonderful bridge," all the people around would say. The Lord heard their words and ordered that the rich man be released from hell. And so that was the story. Violin was our guest today in Folkbox. Tune in to hear us same time every week.